The book of the prophet Joel, chapter 3. And we want to read beginning in verse number 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon and all the coasts of Palestine or Philistia? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans to be a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. And so we find here in these verses, I've entitled the message, The Day of the Lord in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And so here in these verses, they are a prophecy of the Battle of Armageddon. And it is viewed from this standpoint as God's judgment upon the nations. When the Lord Jesus Christ appears from heaven and comes to the earth to deliver Jerusalem and the Jews from the armies of the nations. Now, you look here and you remember how in the previous chapter, how that it had said, you go back to verse 18, where that is said, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. And of course that then was a very important thing, very important indicator as to when this would take place. And of course it had to do with the repentance on the part of the people and turning unto the Lord. And here there is also an important indicator of time or of scheduling, you might say. In verse 1 it says, for behold, in those days and in that time, when. And so that's the important thing, is that these things are going to occur when the Lord has said they're going to occur. And so we find that here again, these verses prophesy of this time when God shall judge. And notice he uses the terminology of warfare and also of treading the winepress, and this is having to do with the judgment of the wicked nations of this world. Now in verse 1 and 2, he said, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, some would think that, well, that's talking about when they came back from the Babylonian captivity. Well, that's not it, because the rest of what it talks about here has not occurred. And so, you remember that after the Lord Jesus Christ was here, and then Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, the Jews were dispersed throughout the world. They still are, for the greater extent. There's only a very small percentage of them that have returned to the land of their ancestors. And I know people get excited, you know, and they say, certain things are being fulfilled. Well, there's a lot that has to yet be fulfilled. But we find that the Lord here, He said, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, you'll not find a single map anywhere that has a valley on it that's labeled the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You see, this is God's terminology for it. And yet, what it's going to be is the same place that we noted. We'll turn there and read in a moment. There, in our studies in the book of Revelation recently, where that John saw all the armies of the nations being gathered together. And he said the name of the place was Armageddon. Now, it's called another name. We read it in these verses on further down in verse number 14. He called it the Valley of Decision. Well, it's not the decision of man. It's the decision of God. You see, it's the decision of judgment is what it has to do with. And so, this is going to be an act of divine judgment upon the nations. He said, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And so, God's going to take the side of of Israel, if you will, and plead against the nations for them. Well, who do you think is going to win? If God pleads with someone, if God takes up a case, and he's on one side and somebody else is on the other side, who do you think is going to win? And now turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And so God said he'll plead with the nations in judgment. Now this terminology is used elsewhere in the prophets. But I want you to notice here in Isaiah 66, verses number 15 and 16. And here the prophet Isaiah was inspired to use these words. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. And so you see here very similar. And it's in reference to the same thing. Israel will not truly be restored to their land and live in possession of it until the Lord comes and fulfills His word, and He will bring it to pass. You think of it in this measure, right? There's prophetic statements about how that the Lord's going to raise up unto them David to be their king. Well, who is that really speaking of? Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The Son of David. And in reference to it, you remember how Israel, they had so many problems, didn't they, with the Canaanites that were left and against the Philistines and so on. Well, who was the one that finally gave them peace back in those times, at least as much peace as they had, and allowed them to be settled in the land? Well, it was David, wasn't it? Because Saul, the whole of the days he was king, they had war. Everywhere Saul turned, it says he vexed the enemies. Well, if David was the one that finally got peace, and that's why Solomon, his son, was able to have a peaceful reign. But notice here, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. And so you see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to cause them to be restored. He said, when I bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, and at the same time, he said, I'm going to gather all nations, and I'm down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I'm going to plead with them for my people. Now notice here in Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning in verse number 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Where have we heard that terminology before? A day unlike any other. Oh, that's right, back in the first chapter of Joel. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. And so you see the Lord, he's going to deal with rebellious Israel, but he's going to also deal with all the nations where he scattered them and judge them. Now turn, I said we'd turn there momentarily. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And so you see Joel here, and what was shown unto him by the Lord, he says that the Lord's going to gather all nations, bring them down into this place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and there he's going to plead with them. These who have scattered his people and divided up or parted the land. That's prayer. Aren't the nations still trying to do that? Why? That's why you hear, you know, they're always, ever since I've been alive, you know, they talk about peace in the Middle East. Well, I'll just tell you right now, that is never going to happen until the Lord comes. But you see, what we find is, and I'm not saying, therefore, we shouldn't be for peace. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, what's their solution? Well, it's to divide up the land, isn't it? They want to give this much to this group and this much to that group. That's why you hear about, you know, all this. They call it the two-state solution. And they've had so many solutions, and ain't none of them ever taken hold. Well, they're not going to. But notice here in Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 12. It says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So you see, this is part of God. Remember these vials that are poured out. What was it called? It was called the last plagues. In them is filled up the wrath of God. Well, here this sixth vial is poured out. What happens? Well, these unclean spirits go out, and they're gathering, they're influencing the rulers of the world, the kings of the earth, it says of the whole world, and gathering them to this battle of the great day of God Almighty. Well, what's going to happen at that battle? Well, in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Well, skip over to chapter 19. And verse 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." So you see what's going to happen here in this valley? Now, the name of this place, he calls it the Valley of Jehoshaphat and the Valley of Decision. Well, the meaning of it is where God will judge. He said in verse 12 in Joel chapter 2, he said, "For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." And so it's a place of judgment. Now the renderings, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Some render it Valley where Jehovah judges, because Jehoshaphat means Jehovah's judgment. But look in Zechariah, next to last book of the Old Testament, chapter 14, Zechariah 14, and the first five verses. Zechariah 14 and verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." And so, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like what we read in Revelation 19. And so you see, this is when the Lord shall come to deliver Jerusalem, as it, all these nations have their armies gathered against it. And we find that the Lord, he said, I will bring back their captivity, and I'll gather all these nations together, and there in the valley of Jehoshaphat, that's where he will execute his judgment upon them. Now in verse 3 of Joel 3, he brings forth his case against these nations. Right? He says, they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. And so he gives forth here his cause of why he is pleading against these nations for how they have mistreated his covenant people. And then, and you know that down through the ages, the Jews have been treated as worthless throughout the world. They've been sold as slaves. They've been treated as, like it says here, a boy was given for a harlot, a girl sold for wine. Can you imagine that? Somebody wants wine to drink, and they'll, in payment for it, they'll sell a girl. Well, it's kind of like the human trafficking that you hear about in the news. Well, it was done unto them. You see, no regard was had for the fact that the Lord said, they're the apple of my eye. Now you see, God has used Israel as a lesson book for the nations. A lot of nations haven't paid attention. Kind of like Israel didn't pay attention unto the word of God. But we find here that God's cause, he brings forth his case. And then in verses 4 through 8, notice he mentions certain nations or kingdom states in particular here as examples. It says in verse 4, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon? Well, we know, remember those places, right? Those were great cities there of the Phoenicians. And they were Canaanitish cities. And they were great and powerful. And then he says, and all the coasts of Palestine or Philistia, is another rendering, will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? You see, the Lord said, you're gonna make a requital to me? He says, no, I'm going to make one to you. Now you see here, these were some who had mistreated his people. And he said in verse 5, because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans to be to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. And so you see, much like in other parts in the scriptures, where that the Lord, it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then you remember that Canaanitish king there in the first chapter of the book of Judges, and you know, he had had so many kings he had conquered, and he had cut off their thumbs and their great toes, you know, and they crawled around on the floor under his table, hoping for a scrap. And then when the children of Israel conquered him, it says they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And he says, as I have done, so hath God requited me. Well, you see, that's what God's going to do to the nations. Remember, he gives you that example there in Matthew chapter 25, when he talked about the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels, and he's got the nations there on his right hand and on his left. And remember, he says to some of them, he says, as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me, or as you've not done it to them, ye did it not to me. Well, that's how God judges, isn't it? According to our works. Now look, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. God's requital and repayment to the nations will be for the mistreatment of his own people. Deuteronomy 30. Now, in many ways, this will also be in respect to not just the Jews, but to his spiritual people. But notice here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Now who's he talking to here? This is Moses talking to Israel, isn't it? He says in the future when this happens, you've experienced both sides of what God told you, the blessing side and the cursing side, because they would, and they have, and they shall. And he said, and you've been driven out amongst all these nations. He said in verse 2, "And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul." And they haven't done that yet, have they? "That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day." And so you see the Lord. He told them that he would regather them, and that he would requite their enemies. And so shall he do. Now here in Joel chapter 3 and verse 9 through 12, we see the summons to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. He says in verse 9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles," or the nations, "prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong." And so you see this summons of all the nations. Well, we saw that being carried out. Now, you say, who in their right mind would want to go and make war against God? Well, who said they're going to be in their right mind? We already read there in Revelation 16. What's going to be the agency behind drawing the nations together to fight against God? Well, it's those demons that go out of the mouth of the beast, and the false prophet, and the dragon. You see the Antichrist, the false prophet, his right-hand religious man, you might say, and the devil behind them, they're going to be influencing the nations. You see, it's a mistake to think that they're going to be in their right mind, because they're not. The Bible says God's going to send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. Well, we see a lot of that in our day already. And so it says here that they're being summoned up to war. Notice even the extremes to which they're going to go. He said, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Now, I don't know if that means that's all they're going to have left, because there's going to be so much destruction and things that have taken place. But you see, the idea is everything they've got will be poured into this effort. All things available. You know, it's kind of like in ages past, when nations have mobilized for war, all their industries and all of their resources have been turned to that use. Well, that's what they're going to do. It's kind of like when this nation, you know, we kind of sat back for a long time, tried to stay out of World War II, like we did World War I. Well, and then when Pearl Harbor was attacked, you know, and then the nation mobilized. Well, and the factories and all the things that used to produce automobiles and other things, what'd they get turned into? Well, they turned into producing the weapons of war, didn't they? Tanks and boats and ammunition and so forth. And then that was when the great shift came that, you know, the men got called up to go fight. Well, then they had the women working in the factories and so on. And so you see, that's what's going to happen. They're going to put all their efforts into this war. He said, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." And so they're going to be summoned to this place. God's already got the place picked out. You say, well, there isn't any valley of Jehoshaphat. It doesn't matter. God's going to make one. And then in verse 13, the likeness or the proverb or the parable, however you want to think of it, as of the harvest is used. Just like we read over there in the book of Revelation about Jesus being the one that treads the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. Notice here he says in verse 13, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down or tread, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." The idea is that it's kind of like, you know, they would harvest those grapes and they put them into that wine press, and he's saying, you got to come down now and tread on these grapes because it's overflowing the wine press. Right? There's so much. It's an abundant harvest. It's not a good harvest. It says their wickedness is great. Well, what do you get from great wickedness? Well, you're going to have a harvest of judgment and divine wrath. Look in Revelation 14. See the nations. They have mocked, ridiculed, laughed at God. And at His Word. They've rejected the testimony of His servants. Revelation 14 and verse 14. "And I looked, behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." They tell me that that's the distance across the land of Israel from one side to the other. Now, whether that's so or not, I don't know. The idea is that there's going to be so many slain, that that's the amount of blood that is shed. There's an overflowing of wickedness. And so there's going to be a great outpouring of divine judgment. The prophet states there in Joel 3 and verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, this again, the term here has to do with judgment. Right? The Lord's going to plead. There's going to be a decision. We know what his decision is going to be. It's going to be that these are going to be slain. This will be the place and the time of God's judgment upon the nations. Look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. These will have come up to war. Well, they're going to fight it. They're not really considering who it is that they're fighting against. Kind of like when Pharaoh, you know, got his army and they chased the children of Israel to the Red Sea. Well, they find out it wasn't the children of Israel they were fighting against. It was God Almighty. But notice here in Ezekiel 39 and verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So you see how many are going to come? 5/6. That's a lot. Right. I don't know what that calculates out to be. Over 80% or something. And he said, I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will gather thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire. And they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Haman Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, of all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus shall ye be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. So you see, it's going to be just like we noted, a day the likes of which there's never been before. And so we find here, this in the Valley of Decision. And then in verses 15 and 16, there in Joel 3, the sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. And so again, here's when the Lord, when he comes to deliver them, and he said that the sun and the moon will be darkened, the stars won't shine, the heavens and earth shall shake. Well, we noted there in Revelation how there's going to be a great earthquake, the likes of which there had never been since the men lived on the earth. Look in Revelation chapter 6. This ought to sound familiar. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And so you see here how that the Lord revealed unto his prophets these things. And so he said, this shall take place in that day. Now you know, I realize and recognize sometimes people, you know, they get confused about things. They say, well, what about this and what about that? Well, God tells you. You don't need to say what about this and what about that. You need to accept what God says. He's giving you the information. You know, I realize, you know, we have a problem. Because we've got different ones that have come on the scene. You know, so-called preachers and teachers. And they'll give out, you know, this and that. Well, if they don't speak, as the Bible says, according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You know? And I realize and recognize there's those that say, well, I think this and I think that. And they give out their opinion. Well, they don't have any business giving out their opinion. They ought to give out, thus saith the Lord. That's what Joel here said that he did. He said that this is what God said. This is the word of the Lord. Well, and that's the only business that we have to give out is what the Lord has said. Somebody will say, well, what about what's going to happen here and there? Well, if God hadn't told us, then we don't know. That's the answer. God's told us what we are to know. Moses said the secret things belong unto the Lord. But the things that are revealed, that's what belongs to us. And so may God help us. Oh, we see this great day of judgment that is coming from the Lord. All the nations. You know, it just seems like they can't get over themselves. They just think they're so mighty and mightier and mightier all the time. Well, they're not mightier than God Almighty. Oh, beloved. It's just like we noted this morning. You know what the problem is? It's the plague of sin. Oh, and may God be pleased to save and grant repentance. And may the Lord help us to give out the true report. So may the Lord bless you.